Thanks for agreeing to this interview, Anne. My name is Ewan. When were you born?
1943, right in the middle of the war.
And where was this?
Oh, it's in Somerset, it's Bath. I always asked my mother why she had a child in the middle of the war. That was because she didn't want to do any war work. So that's why I was a war baby. Oh.
So what brought you to the Caldecott era?
Work, really. I was getting married for the second time, and my husband was working for the BBC in Cardiff, and I was working for the Ministry of Defence, where was I? Bath. And then I moved to Bristol, and Mega had a railway station at Seven Tunnel Junction, and he went that way and I went that way, you know. So it was central to where we were working. It worked out quite well, except when the Seven Tunnel was closed or the train didn't arrive or something like that, you know. Seven Tunnel Junction is rather smart these days in comparison to what it was 20 years ago. Yeah, so that's the reason why we came here, really. I mean, I don't, obviously by my accent, I don't come from this part of the world.
What did you think of the area when you first arrived?
I didn't like Caldecott very much, I must admit. Found it a bit... Well, it was unusual in a strange sort of way. It wasn't Wales and yet it wasn't England. It was a sort of a in-between. I was told by my neighbour... We bought a small holding, so we've got land. And I got quite enthusiastic about gardening and things like that. And the neighbour who kept sheep and ducks and geese and turkeys at Christmas and that, told me that he wasn't born in Wales, he was born in Monmouthshire. So that's my impression of the place at the time. I mean, Caldecott was different then. Even in the 26 years since I've been here, the Caldecott had much more going for it then than there is now, really. I mean, there were shops, proper shops, you know, groceries and things like that, and not anymore. Well, not to the same extent, anyway. We got Waitrose, which we didn't have then.
We had a supermarket then, I think, didn't we?
There was Safeway. Was it Safeways or Gateway? Gateway. And there was a... on the opposite side of the road, where the clothes shop became, Store 21, used to be... I think it was a cash and carry sort of place.
Quick Save.
That's right, yeah, thank you. So, yeah, it's different. It was took me a long time to get used to it. It took me a while to get to know people. I walk, so I met a lot of people walking, and I yak, talk a lot.
Can you tell me about your parents? What they did for a living?
My father was an engineering draftsman. He started off at Devonport in the dockyard. So I'm not, you see, this is it. My mother was Welsh. She came from a Welsh family. And when the war broke out in 1939, he came up from Devonport. He lived in Plymouth, just outside of Plymouth. He came up into the Admiralty in Bath as an engineering draftsman and worked on... We worked on various ships and what have you during the war, you know, helping designing the boilers and things like that in the ships. He was passionate about it, really. And he met my mother, because my mother was working for the YMCA during the war, and he was billeted in the YMCA because they brought all these people in from all over the country. I think they thought Bath was safe. And my mother was one of five sisters and a brother. And they all married, I think all bar one, they all married men. Well, my aunt and my mother married men from Plymouth, and another one married a man from... He was in the Navy, I think, at the time. But they, you know, I think they had quite a lively time during the war, meeting all these men. but my dad was never in the army or anything like that, you know. We lived in a small garret flat in Bath, central Bath. And I think when Bath was bombed, I think my mother... I have no recollection of it at all. All I can remember is the Blitz in Bath, all the buildings that were bombed badly. There was a lot of people killed in Bath at the time. The assembly rooms came down. quite interesting. But yeah, that was my parents, you know, but we're a mixture. My mum came from Treherbert in the Rhondda. But her family, because I've done a lot of family history, her family, my mother's father came from Bath, and he was, well, basically unemployed. By 1920, he was unemployed in the Rhondda, and then they moved to Bath to be with his family, because there was no work in the Rhondda at the time. But my grandmother, my mother's mother, was Welsh-speaking, and then her sister followed her to Bath, and these two little ladies used to walk up and down the high street and up the streets in Bath, talking to one another in Welsh when they didn't want the children to understand what they were talking about, which is quite interesting. Bopa, we called. There was Bopa Annie and Bopa Mary Gwen and my grandmother. I can just about remember some of them. But my mother's father, I can't remember. He died before I was born.
So, you mentioned the Blitz in Bath. Were you evacuated? Do you have any recollection of that?
I was a baby. No, we weren't. We weren't. I think the worst of it was over before I was born. I think it was about 1941, 42. And I think by 1943, I think the war was going on. A better way, you know, and as I said, I can remember, definitely remember, I could walk you around Bath now and I could say, that was bombed, and that somewhere else was bombed. And one of the buildings used to be I think it was the Labour Exchange at one stage. You can actually see the strafe holes, the bullet holes, because the planes used to come down and dive bomb the city, and you can see where they strafe the side of the building, and the great big pit holes in the size of the Bath Stone. And that's, I think that's a listed building now, that's still like it as is. Yeah. I have no recollection of the war except for, I was a very small child and I can remember men sleeping on my mother and father's front room floor. And when I asked my mother about it years later, she said, I think it was what they call VJ night, which is Victory in Japan night. So that would have been right at the end of the war, the end of 1945. And I would have only been about 18 months old, two maybe. I can't quite remember. Yeah, I would have been about 18 months coming up to two in the November. Yeah, quite ancient, you see, I am.
Were you involved in a church in Caldecott nearby, or...?
No. I'm a bit irreligious, I am, really. I mean, I'm an Anglican by upbringing. Went to quite a high church, if you know what high church is. Lots of what they call bells and smells. Went to a very, very high church when I lived in Gloucestershire. They used to have incense and used to call the rector father and things like that, but I'm not involved in the church, no, not at all. I'm involved with the Scout movement. You want to know about the Scout movement-ish? I've been involved with Scout, well, my father was a Scoutmaster, so I used to go camping with him, and then latterly, in Gloucestershire, I became a cub leader, and then I became the assistant district commissioner for Beavers when Beavers first came out, and that was for a little while. And then I've been involved with the Scouts, Monmouthshire Scouting. Well, it's called Gwent Area Scouting for about, must be 20 years now, I suppose. I was the county or the area secretary for a while. And lately I'm the area appointment secretary. Everything's online these days, as you well know. And when somebody's appointed, and you have to do all the what they call them, it's not CRB anymore, it's something else, the security checks and things like that. I have to do that.
DBS checks.
Well, DBS is called now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that. So I don't do the old-fashioned scouting where you're on your hands and knees shouting at them, but I've done that in the past. But so I'm very, very keen on scouting. I would recommend any young man to become a scout leader.
A lot of scouts coming now.
No.
Is it dropped?
Yeah. Oh no. The well, of course, it's now become all sexes, you know, all sexes, girls and boys. And the numbers have been going up and up and up since then, really, because Bear Grylls is now the chief scout. So I don't know whether that makes any difference, but I think it's a wonderful institution. I always have done. I think because since about 5 scouts slung me up in a tree and tied me up and left me there screaming, you know, I've been very keen on that camp with my father. I used to go camping with them. I think they got fed up with me this one day and they tied me. They used to do these, what they call bosun's chairs. It's made out of rope and they strapped me into this thing and pulled me up to the top of the tree and then left me there. I think they got cheesed off with me.
Sounds like scouting. how has Caldecott changed over the years?
Well, as I said, you know, I've got no recollection of as it was when it was a village, when it was the village, you know, before the road was all blocked off and all the rest of it. They have built more houses, you know, around, obviously. But, I think it needs a bit of more community spirit, or something needs done to it. You know, I think people are trying hard to do it, but I haven't really got an opinion on that, in all honesty. I mean, it's a nice place, you know, going back to Caldecott, it's a nice place to live, in a way. I'm not too happy about the proposed change to the motorways, and that will affect where I live particularly, because Undy's a small place, and I think when they built the new relief road, it'll affect that particular area quite significantly, really. It'll affect us directly for a few years, because they'll be effectively cutting us off from Mega, because they'll be closing the Mega Bridge. But I don't shop in Caldecott very much. I go to Waitrose. I go to the butcher's, which I think is very good. But unfortunately, because the Severn Bridge is there, and because I like John Lewis, I go across to Chris Quarter and go to John Lewis, which is unfortunately Gloucestershire. I don't go to Cardiff. There are plenty of things going on in the area. That's one thing I will say about it. Especially if you go to Chepstow, the Drill Hall puts on lots and lots of really good films and these streamed, you know, concerts and things like that. And it is quite a good sort of social life for people of my age. I don't know what it's like for the youngsters. I'm not aware of youth clubs particularly.
I think there are a couple. There definitely used to be. Yeah. I don't know if they've all shut down or anything, though.
Yeah.
Can you tell me something about your career?
Career? Well, my goodness me. Have I had a career? I've never thought about it in that terms. I'm a civil servant, I was. Bath, because of the Admiralty, there were two main employers in Bath when I was growing up. There was the Admiralty, there were 4 sites. Where civil servant, about 5 sites, I suppose, if I count Central Bath. And then there was an engineering company called Stothart and Pitts. They made cranes for docks, dockside cranes and things like that. If you go to Bristol and go to the basin, you know, the Great Britain is, and you look at those 2 big cranes that are on the side, you look and see where they're made, and they're made in Bath, Stothart and Pitts in Bath. And so that's how I started. Well, I worked in a sports shop to start with, selling fish hooks to kids and wrapping up footballs to post and having to put labels on little boys' shirts for the school, because we used to supply a couple of the rather posh schools with their sports gear, and we used to have to walk the kids' names, and I used to label them all up. So I worked there for about 6 months. I hated it, because I didn't get Saturday off. So then I went and took a civil service exam. I left school without any qualifications. I left school at 15. And I went to, took passed the civil service examination to become what they called a clerical assistant, which was the lowest of the low. you were a gopher, really, you know. And I started working there. And then I met my first husband, who was in the RAF at the time. And he went to Singapore, and I followed him out there. So I had 2 years out there. Got married at 18, child at 19. Came back with... I went to Singapore with 2 suitcases, and I came back with a child and about 9 boxes of stuff. And you, I think how your life changes. So that's how I started. And I went back then to work for the civil service in Bath for a little while between having children. And then eventually we moved up to Gloucestershire. We lived up in a place called Minchinhampton. And I went to work at there's a large stores depot on the outskirts of a place called Aston Down. It used to be a World War I airfield, and then it became a Second World War airfield. They used to fly all the Spitfires in there before they sent them to the East Coast. The women used to fly the Spitfires into the airfield, because it was an airfield. The runway's still there. I think they've got a glider club there now. And I started working there. We used to supply electronic equipment to the Civil Aviation Authority. And we used to come in, used to bring in, they had aircraft jigs and tools used to come in, and we used to have auction sales and metal auction sales. They used to have all these gypsies and people like that coming in buying precious metal and things like that. So I worked for that. I used to go to auctions. And I was still a clerk then. Where did I leave that? Well, they closed it down. That's right. Mrs. Thatcher had a go at it. She changed everything. Did what they call contractorisation, and a lot of the workmen, the sweepers up and the storemen and people like that, they used to call them... The civil service at that time had like a two-tier arrangement. You had non-industrial staff, office staff and all the bigwigs, and then you had industrial staff, which was the storemen and labourers and drivers and she decided that could all go out to contract. So it became, although it continued to be a MOD stores depot, it was all sort of contracted out, and they just had a small number of staff. So I left then. I did get promoted at last to the grand status of what they called an executive officer. And I went to work for the RAF at Innsworth, which is Gloucester. And that was quite interesting, because I was involved with widows' pensions. So if an aircraft came out of the sky and brought the pilot down with it, we used to do all the running around, getting all the pensions calculated for the widow. And I saw Douglas Bader's pension filed once. Never actually, it was about this thick. He was apparently a very troublesome man. He used to be very difficult, constantly ringing up, complaining about his pension, you know. It's before my time, but I did actually see his file. So it was quite an interesting job. They had a couple of flights. You had one of these circuits and bumps sort of flights all the way up to the north of Scotland and back down. That was from Bryce Norton. And we had a helicopter flight. One of the wing commanders that worked in the offices next to us, he said, "Oh, we ought to find out what the RAF gets up to." So we had a flight with the RAF in a big helicopter, you know, so quite interesting job. I learned to swear quite well. Quite helpful, you know, helps you curse working with men. So that was my career, really. And then from there, I had a bit of a problem with a woman I didn't get on very well with. And from there, I went then down to Bath to work for career management for senior civil servants. And I used to have to prepare all the minutes and run around after these men, you know. That's when I first started using computers. We used to use something called Cardbox, and what was the other? What was the word processing package? WordPerfect, wasn't it? That's right. Yeah.
WordPerfect.
Back in the dark ages, it was. I'd never used a computer until then. And then I ended up then working for the Navy Department in a place that was called DGS, Director General Ships. Started off at Bath, and then we moved to this big place at Filton near a huge development of houses called Abbey Wood. We always used to call it Shabby Wood, but it was Abbey Wood. But big, big development there. A lot of people that worked there lived in that area. Big, big development. And because it's all beside the University of West of England now, it's a very busy place. But nice, lovely, big open plan building. And my husband was very ill, so I got peeved off of working, so I retired. And that was 20 years ago. So I haven't worked full-time since then. I did work part-time for a little while. But not really, no. I worked for a chap who ran a cleaning company for a little while. That was strange.
What hobbies do you have?
Well, there we go. I used to run. Did the London Marathon a long time ago. Tried to keep fit. I walked a lot with the Ramblers. I have walked a lot with the Ramblers. You know, done a lot of walking. Because that is one thing about this part of the world. I mean, you've got wonderful walking countryside on your doorstep, the Black Mountains, and we've done snow. I went to Snowdon, walked up Snowdon. You know, it's a lovely part of the world for that. And then, of course, if you want to emigrate, you can go across the bridge and go to England, and you can walk around the Cotswolds. So I've done a lot of walking, and it's a wonderful. Monmouthshire is nice. The countryside in Monmouthshire is nice. Small fields, a little field, and rolling hills. It's very gentle, nice attractive. So that's my scouting, of course. And if I want to bore you to death, I do try to write. I have attempted to write a couple of novels without success, really, particularly short stories. There's a very healthy writers group here with very talented people. And of course I do family history. And I could go on for about 12 hours about that. I don't think you want to listen to that.
You mentioned that you didn't get any qualifications when you came out of school. Have you done anything since?
Oh yeah, as an aged person, I have done. I did a went to it was it, there's no uni there anymore. It's now the University of Wales, I think.
It was
University of Newport at Caerleon. I went and did a BA in English and Creative Writing. I got 2-1 for that. I was quite chuffed with that. I've been fiddling around with studying, used to go to Cardiff to the lifelong learning classes in Cardiff, did industrial archaeology course with this rather strange gentleman who knew everything about Blaen Avon. Very, very interesting. I recommend you do something like that. It's really, you know, you get to know about the background of the part of the world that you come from, you know, the industry and things like that was going on before it all disappeared, the coal and the iron and all that. It's very, very interesting. So I did that. And then I went and did an MA in regional history. And that was over at Bristol, the University of West of England. One has to keep one's mind awake, I think. And your family and things like that.
Right, thank you very much for allowing us to interview.
Thank you. My ramblings.